We just praise your name. We thank you. And we do pray, God, that you'll lead us to build your kingdom, that others will come to know you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place that we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace.
Did I go too fast?
Take me in with your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on. I am. Love like this, oh my God, to find. I am overwhelmed with the joy divine. Love like this sets our hearts on fire. Holding on to you, I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on. I am. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on. I am. This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah come. This is why it's to you I run. This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah come. This is why it's to you I run. This is that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on. I am. I am. Middle of the storm, I'm holding on. I am. I am. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on. I am.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's really going through a storm. And you're just feeling like you're hanging on by a thread, and you just don't know what to do. I want you to know that he is able. He's able to bring you through whatever it is. We all love the verses that speak of that power and that might and that love, but we don't really enjoy living it sometimes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That sounds so wonderful and glorious, but what it really means is even if I'm about to die, I'm not afraid. If God takes my life right now, I'm okay with that. That's a pretty challenging thought. Now, not every storm we face is life and death, but some of them are. But they all feel that way. So I want to pray for you today. Lord God, whoever's going through that storm, speak to them. They are a child of the King. The son or the daughter of the greatest Father, Lord of Lords. I just pray, God, that you will lift up the spirit of that one who's feeling down right now. I don't know if it's someone here in this place or if it's somebody that's logged in online and watching us live. It might be someone that watches later today or this week. I don't know, but someone needs to know. You can bring them through the storm. You will bring them through the storm. So, Lord, I just pray your anointing for whoever that is that needs to hear it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As we do this next song, if you have an offering today, you can bring it to the offering plate at the front of the church here at the altar. And I should pray for the offering too. I think I will, because I know it's a blessing that we can give. Lord, thank you for the blessing it is to tithe and to give offerings above and beyond even, to support our missionaries and to support one another, to be sure that your kingdom advances. So I pray a special blessing on each one as they give from their heart of hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down flights till I found leaves the '99. I could still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah. Been so, so kind to me. no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. So I could stand and sing. I am a child.
sing it with me again.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Jesus, thank you, Lord. You are a child of God. You are a child of the King. Never forget it. Never forget it. Thank you, Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price, bought our redemption, heaven's gate, swing wide. There is so freely given, such.
Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song together, those of you who know it.
Jesus,
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 there's just something about that name.
Master,
Savior,
Jesus,
like the fragrance after the rain.
Jesus,
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 let all heaven and earth proclaim.
Kings and kingdoms will all away,
but there's something about that name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us so much. We pray your anointing to be upon each and every one today.
Yes.
We need your blessing and your anointing daily. And we thank you for all that you've already done in this service today to encourage and to strengthen each heart, to give that anointing for faith. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you as you're seated.
Praise the Lord. What a very special day it is today. I'm going to ask Doug and Beth Gentry to come on up here and to bring Zoe with them. Hallelujah. We have a wonderful blessing today to dedicate a child to the Lord. And Zaylee, what did I say? Did I say the wrong name? What did I say? It didn't come out right, whatever it was, but Zaylee is the one we're dedicating. I don't know who that other girl was. Maybe she'll be somewhere along the way, right? Hallelujah. Hi, how are you? I'm so glad you're up here today with me. It's very special for us to be able to pray with you today and to do something very special, Zaylee. And you probably won't understand half the words I say, but it's a blessing. Amen?
No.
Nope. I love you so much. When the Lord Jesus dwelt as the Son of Man among men, the scriptures say that they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples, they actually rebuked when they brought them, but Jesus saw it, and he was very much displeased, and he said to suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And he took them up in his arms and he placed his hands upon them and he blessed them. And so we're going to take that into account when we do this very special blessing of a dedication. The family is a divine institution ordained of God from the beginning of time. Children are a heritage of the Lord, committed by him to their parents and grandparents for care, for protection, and for training for his glory. It's important that all recognize the obligation and the responsibility to God in this manner. So we don't take that lightly. Jochebed of old trained her own child, Moses, after having given him to the Lord. Hannah also recognized that her child was Jehovah's. Joseph and Mary, obviously, they brought the infant Jesus to the temple. And the family that is here today likewise recognizes the sacredness of their charge and now bring back to the Lord the treasure in which the Lord has entrusted them. In so doing, they recognize here publicly and acknowledge their responsibility for the nurture and admonition of children in the ways of righteousness and godliness. And so, Zaylee, in presenting you, well, actually, I should speak to Doug and Beth also, and Ben and Kylie as well, that when you dedicate this child, not only do you signify faith in Christ in the Christian way of life. I can shake your hand. You want my mic? Say hi.
Hi.
You signify your faith in Christ and the Christian way, but you also indicate your desire that Zaylee will show and grow to know the Lord and live the Christian life as well. That's right. You come with your hands and your hearts, come with thanks in your hearts for the little life which God has placed in your care. But in order for this dedication to be complete, it's necessary for you not only to thank God, but to say to him, we give back to you, Lord, that which is really yours. And Zaylee's no exception to that rule. We all understand the importance of dedicating our children. Amen. And so I give back to you, Lord, that which was really yours. Make her what you will. Make her to use her to your eternal glory. Keep her in your will until the day that you shall take her to be with you. You can do nothing better than to put her into God's hands, for only God knows what possibilities are there in this little life. Only God can develop in this life all the possibilities that there are. And you have still another responsibility in addition to that of surrendering Zaylee to God. Just as Moses was given back to his mother to rear as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, so will Zaylee be given back to you to rear for God. And I realize with this situation, it's kind of complicated as far as the care that will be given for Zaylee with Ben and Kylie and your relationship. But I know that your heart and your desire is to lead her to the Lord. And we just pray God's blessing on you as you do so. You'll need to listen in prayer to know what God's instructions will be to help you along the way. You'll need to pass on to her the things which God tells you to teach her. You'll need to be able and willing to do God's will when it crosses your own. And that's a really tough one, isn't it? Because our desires and wills often conflict with what God's plan is. You'll need to be willing to surrender whatever ministry that God may choose for her, and she could very well be a part of a very special ministry one day, whatever God has chosen for her. So, in the sight of God, in the presence of these witnesses, do you solemnly undertake to bring up this child in the fear and admonition of the Lord? If so, say, we do.
We do.
You want to hold it for me? Well, maybe not. Do you promise early to lead her to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Yes. Do you promise as much as you are able to set before her examples of godly and consistent lives? If so, answer, we do. Yes, we do. The family, the church family, also has a part to play in this. We've all heard it many times about, you know, all those hypocrites in the church and how that can be really destructive for the family of God. And I want to implore you to do your very best to represent Christ well so that the children will look to you with honor and respect for how you represent the Lord to them and for Zaylee. The family in the church which accepts a child in dedication assumes a responsibility before God as well. And in view of this responsibility, I want to charge everyone who's present here today, those of you who are members of this body, that you will covenant together to set an example of your lives to maintain an atmosphere that shall inspire Zaylee to a Christian life. That you will do all that you can to provide for her a place of worship and instruction in this community as she will hear the full counsel of God's word. that God has, as God shall remind you, shall that you shall pray for her salvation, and that those of you who are willing to accept this charge, please answer, we will. Yeah. Wonderful. If you are willing, join me now in prayer for dedication. And I usually take the little babies. I'm wondering, would you like to, can I hold you for a minute? I want to just pray for you. And it's okay if you talk in the microphone while I pray, but you can try not to, too. Okay. Let's pray for Zaylee and the blessing of God on her. Lord God, we're so thankful for this beautiful child that you have blessed this family with. And we know that she is loved by you, and you have a very special place for her in this life and in this world. So I pray your blessing to be upon Zaylee, that you will just lead her and guide her to a path that brings about her own desire to love you and to serve you with her whole heart. We pray for Ben and for Kylie, that you will be with them in their relationship, and that your blessing will be upon them for wisdom and guidance as well. And for Doug and Beth, as the grandparents, we just ask that your wisdom and your blessing will be upon them as you lead and guide. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mwah. I love you. You know that? What do you want to say?
Okay.
Say hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Goodbye. Thank you so much. Blessings to you. Oh. I do have a dedication certificate also.
Thank you.
Hopefully I spelled everything correctly, so we'll see. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to move on with our service, and I think we'll go ahead and dismiss our kids for Kids Church. Unless
Whoa.
There is something happening back there. Oh.
Whoa.
Wow.
I have assembled the Greater Glendive Area International Children's Symphonic Psychedelic Funkadelic Choir.
I don't even know what that means.
All kids, come on up.
All kids,
come on up. Oh. We are going to sing a copyrighted song that eventually was discopyrighted. And anyway, so come on up. Come on, everybody. Come on up.
What a good looking group. My goodness.
I know, right? Aren't we awesome? You guys are almost as good as me. What? Wow. That's awesome. I think I got Lego camper in there. Okay. So, all right, let's bring out the festivities. And in hello?
There's hello? Someone hello? Someone peeking back.
In Pastor Jason style, I stepped it up a notch. We got a birthday cake for the birthday boy.
Oh.
Let's go ahead. So, it was just plain white. It had to have some chocolate in it.
Wow, that looks really yummy.
So let's sing happy birthday to the birthday boy. Marks, get set, go. Happy day to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor Kevin. Happy birthday to you. Good job, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you. Wish the birthday boy a happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right, let's go, kids.
Woo. This smells really good. I better move this away from me so I don't get into it. How old am I? Oh, you never ask a man his age. Don't you know anything? 51. Woohoo! I made it past whatever that is. I don't know. Half a century, is that right? And you're all like, you don't look a day over 30, right? I remember when I would go into the nursing homes and they'd tell me I was just a kid. They couldn't understand how I could be a pastor and be just a kid. I've noticed over the last few years when I've gone in, they haven't said that. And I guess I'll just own it. All right, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And you do have a bulletin, so make sure you're aware of the details there. Is anything I should say for sure? How many are liking the more open space in the entryway? It's starting to come together. We're so thankful for that. It will be happening to finish the product soon, hopefully. We do have a special service next Sunday where the ladies will be putting on the service. And I'm looking forward to that and hearing what the Lord has laid upon their hearts. And also, let's see, anything specific? There is a study this week on the 25th that you might want to take part in. Wise Guys is going on, and that's always a good hoot and a great devotional. And then discipleship class will start next Sunday night, because tonight we have a pastor and staff dinner planned. So there you go. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And I should probably publicly say hello to my sister who snuck out on me. She'll be back. But her wonderful husband, Nolan, is sitting over here. And Cammy, they're visiting this weekend. It's just good to have family around. And they're just going to kind of relax and enjoy the service today. Normally, they're really involved with church services from their call. But there she is, my little sister. I still remember when I was going off to college as an 18-year-old, we had a heart-to-heart conversation, and my sister, Cammy, she said, "Promise me that you will never change." And I said, "Why would I? Of course I'll never change." I don't know if I was very good at keeping that promise or not, because my life changed a lot over those years. I had not yet accepted the ministry call. I was just going there to play football and learn a little Bible and maybe meet a girl. And that was my plans, and God just kind of took it from there. But it's good to have them with us today. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through verse 17. Let's see what God has for us today. This will possibly be the last of a series of messages. I might have one more to wrap it up when we gather back the next time I preach, but we'll see. Let's take it as it could be the last one, and we'll see where God wants to take it from there. Verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That is a signature verse that we all need to own. You really need to own that, not just in your head knowledge. You need to own it in your spirit. Hold it dearly to your heart. You are no longer under the condemnation. It's a wonderful good news word. Verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Many of the songs that we sang today were related to this idea. The reckless love, the no longer slaves, and the power in the name of Jesus is all represented here. Verse 3, "For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." You may believe you have an understanding of what that means. I know I have. But today there was just a different glint of truth that I was able to learn from the author, Jeremy Austell. "Let Your Heart Go Free" is the book. And I realized that I'm guilty of something here, and I think we all are to some degree. Not taking this verse to heart, we have the tendency to still think in our fleshly minds. Verse 6 says, to set the mind on the flesh is death. What does that really mean? Does it mean if we think worldly, we suddenly die? Or does it mean that we limit the ability of God to use us and to grow us and to see us walk victoriously? I think it may be the latter that we need to be careful of here. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. When you think the way God wants you to think, when you see things from His eyes, something supernatural changes within us. And it brings life, it brings peace. Verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, I believe that we can pause for just a moment here and recognize that the born-again experience is exactly that. Once was dead and now is alive is very real if you have accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior. You don't know, just know about Him. Suddenly, miraculously, you know Him. It's a powerful thing. It brings about the work that God has promised through salvation. But I believe that we must realize that we can still think wrongly as believers. And it affects our victory in Jesus Christ. It affects our life. It affects our spirit when we think wrongly, when we think fleshly. We don't want to live with that. We want to live with life, not death. Verse 12 says, so then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Jesus said it this way, take up your cross every single day. You want to follow me? Carry your cross. You need to die to the flesh. You need to live to the Spirit. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Verse 15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery. I'm no longer a slave, amen. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. And that will be covered in our first point today. You are not to live in fear. Don't pray with fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy, Father. The intimacy of that kind of connection is something that I long for more often than I allow Him to work in me. To be that vulnerable. I still remember when I was 3 years old and I was playing outside with my brother and he was doing a very boy type of thing. Now, this is going to be a horrible story and I don't know why I'm going to share it, but I'm going to anyway because it's here. I can't stop now. And so my brother had found this Folgers can, I think it was Folgers. It was a coffee can full of old rusty nails. They were big, long nails. And my dad had taught him how to use a hammer and nail. And so he gave him a piece of plywood, like good dads will, a hammer and nails. Back in the day, right? And so Kyle is out there hammering nails into this plywood on the yard right next to the house. And he completely filled up that entire piece of plywood with nails. Now, he's 5 years old. I'm 3. Well, once you're done nailing all the nails into the plywood, what are you going to do? Well, you can flip it over and nail them back through into the ground because it's soft ground. And so that's what he was doing now. Both my brother and I grew up on a farm, and we didn't think there was anything important about shoes. I mean, who wears shoes? You know, I about lost my big toe because I got it stuck in the spokes of my three-wheel tricycle. Now, the little tricycle was no big deal. You slip off of that, who cares? But I was on the big tricycle, and you know how those big toes get caught, and it's like, ah, it was painful, right? But that, for some reason, we just did that. I remember running for the steps, jumping because I was trying to get away from my brother. I just about made it to the top step, but not quite. And my big toe went bing, right off because I just missed the step. And it clicked. Probably should have trimmed that nail. Yeah, right? But here I am with my big brother, very proud of him. He's a very good hammer and nail guy. And I'm watching, and Kyle's nailing those things back into the ground, and I'm standing in the middle of this plywood. Pretty impressed, because I'm three, and threes are impressed easily. Dad came home. Daddy, Daddy! And I went to run to go greet my daddy, completely forgetting where I was standing, barefoot in the middle of 5-inch rusty nails. Daddy, throop, ah! And there's my nail sticking straight up through my foot. And now what? I remember being kind of shocked and awed over that whole scene, and Kyle, being the big brother that he was, slipped his hand under my foot. I mean, can you believe a 5-year-old was this smart? And he lifted the foot right off the nail, picked me up, and carried me inside. Wasn't that great of him? Everybody, yay, good job, Kyle. But I'll tell you what, when I saw my daddy, nothing mattered. Nothing mattered but him. For just that split second. Now, granted, it would have been a better outcome had I not stepped on the nail when I started to run. But I want you to grasp the importance of recognizing you are a child of God. Nothing else matters. Abba, Father, grasp it, hold it, own it. We cry out, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. I can't quite fathom this one. We are talking about the Son of God. We're talking about Messiah, God who became flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, the one who was always the Word, and now he is in the flesh, and we've seen his glory. We understand who he is, and yet we are being told that we are heirs together with him. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Verse 18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Will you give your life to him? Will you completely embrace his love to that daddy level that nothing else matters? And because of your love for him, you will suffer in this world. But this is not your home. You are heirs of God, heirs together with Christ. In other words, it's almost as if he's calling us brothers and sisters of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But we struggle. I struggle. We all struggle with our identity of who we truly are. And today I want to address that. I want to challenge you to let go of your past. Let go of what you think you are in your shortcomings and embrace who God sees you as. The identity crisis must end. Last week we were challenged to simplify our faith. Sometimes we put too much on our plate. We want to be this, 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 and this. We want to do all these great things, and then we fall short, and it hurts us, and we feel like we've failed somehow. It's critically important that we lay aside every weight and sin and run with endurance as we look to Jesus. And the weight and the sin that weighs us down is sometimes our failures and our incompleteness. You are a work in progress. Everybody say it out loud. I am a work in progress. Go ahead, say it. I'm not perfect. It means I'm not complete. But I'm on my way, right? You're a work in progress. You are challenged to be like him daily, but we have to be careful about taking on a wrong perspective of competing or somehow trying to please God, otherwise you're not worthy. We have to be careful of that trap, that weight that weighs us down. What should we be doing? Run towards him. Quit trying to do a bunch of stuff and run to him. Embrace him. Love him. See him for who he is. Your goal should be to connect with God, however that leads you. In your rhythm, we talked about. Simplify your goals in the faith to engage God rather than perform for him. We must find our rhythm and flow in the Holy Spirit as we develop consistent and persistent patterns that lead us in abiding in Christ. My pattern of fellowship with God is different than yours. If I were to tell you, you got to do it the way I do it, that would be wrong. Some of you, and I talked to one of you last week after the message, and one of you, and some of you would relate, they say, I like getting up at 5 in the morning or 4 in the morning and having my daily devotions. That's great. That's a wonderful thing for you. That's your rhythm. It's not my rhythm. If I get up at 4 in the morning, I'm probably going to fall back to sleep. It's not going to work for me. But I have other ways of connecting with God that work for me in the rhythm and flow of the Spirit in my life. Every single one of you are different. Don't try to do it this way or that way. Do it God's way. He'll lead you to find that place. You are uniquely yourself, and he is uniquely yours. Together, you make a great relationship. Let his Spirit lead you. And when you get out of sync, when you get off pattern, when you lose that rhythm, you need to come back to it so that you get your life under control again. Sometimes things come along and they mess you up and you don't know what to do and you feel out of sync with life. You've all been there. You felt it. Find that routine that works with you and the Lord and get back on it. Set the boundaries so the river can flow. We talked about that last week. I'm not going to preach more on it. Today we're going to look at the next level and forever, hopefully, fix our identity crisis. First of all, no more pagan prayers. You're probably looking at me the way I looked at the author of the book I'm reading. Excuse me? I think I'm offended. You're telling me I pray like a pagan? It sounds offensive to be told such a thing. What does it actually mean? We're not talking here about the context of praying evil and vile things. That's not what I mean by pagan. That's not what the writer meant by pagan. But it is about the internal posture and the subtle motivations of why we pray. Many of you pray because of a guilty conscience. Because you feel condemnation when you don't do certain things. When you don't pray a certain number of minutes or maybe hours. And you heap this guilt upon yourself. And you feel less and less and less rather than learning to be more and more and more like him. And that's what the writer means by this identity crisis of how we even approach God in prayer in a pagan way. Romans chapter 12 addresses that problem. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Perfect almost always means complete. When you see the word perfect, scratch it out of your mind from the American idea of what that means and replace it with the word complete. Okay, that might be helpful. Because it's not referring to without flaw. It's referring to I'm whole. I'm finished. God has completed the work in me. None of us are there yet. We are a work in progress. Amen? But we will find a way to become more like him if we allow our minds to be transformed by the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. There is power in the name of Jesus. You can change the way you think. You can change the way you pray. You can come to God with an understanding of, I am a child of the King. I do have a right to be here in His presence. For some of you, that's innovative. That's earth-moving change. Because you're so hard on yourself. I'm not saying don't ignore sin. I'm not saying stop the pursuit of righteousness. But I am saying give yourself a break and recognize you're a child of God. Pray that way. Let Him transform you in the way you think, in the way you approach His throne. When our thinking changes, our lives change. Many believers' relationships with God are rooted in fear and failure. Fear and insecurity. I remember how insecure I was growing up. I remember my teenage years when I thought God made a mistake when He made me. I really did. And I remember the earth-shattering moment that changed my life, and it was the dumbest thing that you can imagine, and yet it was earth-changing, life-changing. It was amazing. When a girl right next to me, the same girl that's always there because in a small school you put your lockers in alphabetical order and that never changes. How many in the small school say amen? And I went to my locker, and for some reason I was having a bad day, and I opened my locker, and the girl next to me said, "Oh, gross." True story. And you want to know what I did? I was mad. I wasn't having a bad day. I didn't need to hear that. And I really believe she was speaking about me. Now, this is a friend of mine who never said anything crossways to me that I could recall, but I took it personal. That could have been the enemy. As far as I know, she probably had a sandwich in there that was oozing down the locker and completely grossed her out. That could have been what it was. I don't know. But I took it personal, and I slammed the locker really hard, and I went to the bathroom, and I stayed in there after the bell rang. I'm not going to class. I was that angry and that hurt. Who does she think she is to say I'm gross? The problem was I agreed with her. And then it happened. I prayed. And I heard that still small voice of God tell me that He made me just the way I am. And that He doesn't make junk. And that I wasn't a mistake. And it changed me. And I realized, and I was still a little angry, if she thinks I'm gross, that's her problem, not mine. Come on, amen. And I realized it didn't matter what she thought. I can't change what God made. I am this person forever. And I owned it. I accepted it. I said, okay then, I'm me, and that's just the way it is. And so I walked away from that bathroom with a completely different perspective of life. And I changed the way I thought. I still remember one of my friends, happened to be a friend of my sister's, that couldn't believe this guy that suddenly was funny and carrying on and being dumb in a funny sort of quirky way. You know me. All right, I'm weird. Nobody knew that. I was this quiet, shy, reverted into the shadows, don't see me, don't hear me, and that's the way it should be. And I came out of that weird, sheltered insecurity, and I recognized I am this person, I may as well be it. And so I became comfortable with who I am, and it changed from that day forward. Why do I share this story with you? I think it's important for you to realize I was not a non-believer. I was a born-again believer, spirit-filled, could speak in tongues and hear from God, and yet I thought I was junk. Somehow I fell short. Somehow I'm not good enough. And all of my prayers came from a deficit, as if I had to work my way up to be pleasing, and then God will hear me. And that's not the truth. That's a lie from the pits of hell. God has called me. He's called you. You are a child of God. Quit beating yourself up because you think you're not good enough. No one is. But here's the thing. You're good enough to die for and come back the third day and come into your life because the Spirit of God wants to dwell with you forever. Own it. Embrace it. And cry out, Daddy, Father. The writer shared his position of his prayers as if he was coming from an attitude of deficit, like you're down 10 points in the first inning of a baseball game and you got to make that up before you can even get level and squared away. Well, that's not the way it is. That's pagan thinking. You see, in the pagan culture, religious disciplines take place to appease an impossible-to-please God. That's pagan. You will never sacrifice enough. You will never give enough. You will never cry out enough. You can think of Elijah as he faced with those other prophets and they called down fire from heaven, but they failed and they shredded their body. They cried out. And of course, Elijah's like, oh, maybe he's deaf. Maybe he's sleeping. And he kind of got a little rattled and razzed him a little bit there. I don't know, how many of you kind of wanted to high-five Elijah in that moment? You go, man. That's awesome. Funny thing is, after that experience, he's running for his life because he's afraid of Jezebel. Go figure. But pagan culture is about fear, humilities that create severe disciplines that are unbearable and miserable. If you're serving God and you're miserable, you're doing it wrong. Serving God is joy-filled. It's full of blessing. It's rewards. It's the fact that you are co-heirs with Christ, the King of Kings. It's mind-blowing to realize, and yet it's true. No more pagan prayers. Don't think that you come with a deficit. You have been bought and paid for, and you are a child of the King. And that's the reckless love of God that we sang about. He doesn't hold back. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, and let's throw in some sisters here. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. These are Christian people. These are believers. They are Spirit-filled, and they are having to be told to change their stinking thinking. I heard that a long time ago. It's not mine, but I like it. So there you go. And begin thinking the way you're supposed to. Yes, you have the right and the authority to change the way you think. I hope that you'll do it. Think about the things that are represented here in Philippians chapter 4. Fix your thoughts is another translation. It's a glorious starting point in our thought life that leads us to the rhythm in the Holy Spirit. Will you do that? How does that look to change the way you think? Well, number two, and I only got 2 points today, and you're all saying, praise God, he's not going to preach forever. Number two, no longer a sinner saved by grace. John chapter 1, verse 12. Signature verse for this entire book that we've gone through together. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you believed Jesus, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. End of discussion. Regardless of your personal grade on this journey of perfection, you are a child of God. Regardless of how you think you have failed, you are a child of God. Let me tell you something about children, and you all know it's true. Children that disappoint parents don't cease to be their children. Grandchildren that disappoint grandparents don't cease to be grandchildren. You are a child of God. You will not always do it right. You will not always even do it well. You might even make some really bad decisions. Right? Now, I can control bad decisions better than I can mistakes. A mistake is spilled milk. Right? A mistake is driving on road conditions that are a little sketchy and you lose control. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to speak directly at you. I didn't, really, seriously. And she's like, oh, stop it. But guess what? Mistakes happen. But a willful, disobedient decision to do something wrong, that's a bigger deal, isn't it? And here's the good news. You can control that. Let me say it again because I don't think you believe me. You can control that. You can control your disobedient, willful attitudes. Hallelujah. You can change the way you think. You can change the way you respond. You can practice really good control of your emotions. Those are all well and good, but here's the truth, the bottom line. Even when you fail by making a bad choice, you are still His child. There's nothing that you can do to make Him not love you. That's a bit pretty difficult thing to grasp. The writer said it this way on a personal level. Nothing I can do will make me not loved by the Father. You can go ahead and try to think of the most hideous, horrible person you can imagine. And I want you to realize God loves them. Now, what they do with that love is completely in their place to choose. But God loves them. For those who believe, He has given inalienable rights. And I will say this, it's better than the American rights that we have. And that seems to be increasingly more obvious. As it would appear that some of our rights are trying to be taken away in this great country that we live. But let me tell you the good news. Your inalienable rights will not change according to you and your relationship to the Father. The word right here is broken down. Exousia is the word, and it means right. It's normally translated right in the English translation, but there's more to the word than what we actually read. That we are given the right to become children of God in verse 12. What does the word right actually involve? Here's other words that can be used. Privilege, force, capacity, competency, freedom, delegated, influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, strength, and finally, right. You have every form of connection as a child of God through the work of God in your life. And I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but hoyas is the word that is translated for children. But more appropriately, it literally means son. Now, that's not to exclude women from this wonderful blessing. On the contrary, it's including all of us. But there's something about the word son here that exudes more authority because of the inheritance that you gain through God the Father. And here's the cool factor. The same word that is used in this reference is the same used for Jesus as the Son of God and the Son of Man. Two names that represent him as Christ and Messiah. Sonship has great authority in the relationship to the Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Have you grasped the meaning here? Have you been able to embrace the truth? It's like Jesus is the big brother of the family, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, many who will be a part of this family. How many? Well, if you go to Revelation and you read about the New Jerusalem, it is 1,600 miles cubed. 1,600 miles by 1,600 miles by 1,600 miles. Now, some might say 1,400, but all I know is that's pretty big. And every one of those contains a room of which we are going to call home. Because we're all building, we're all going to live in the great home of God the Father, and the Son is preparing a place for us. There's a lot of people that are considered brothers and sisters of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, while he is our King, and he is our Lord and our God. It's a complex, amazing thought. But I hope that it helps you to realize who you are, and that your identity crisis in him will diminish and you will accept who you truly are. You are a beautiful creation of God with inalienable rights to stand before the throne and to pray with an understanding of who you truly are. Not from the position of, I am a sinner saved by grace. It's a false humility. Yes, we are all sinners. We're all saved by grace. But it's no longer I am a sinner saved by grace. It is I was a sinner who has been saved by grace. There's a difference. And now I'm a child of the King. I'm a son, I'm a daughter in the house, in his house, in his name. And his name is written on my heart. Did you know that after salvation, there is no reference where God will call you a sinner? And yet we can continue to beat ourselves up with it. And we do it as a witnessing tool to encourage others that are living their lives without Christ to say, hey, I'm just like you. I am a sinner saved by grace. And I get that. But when you own it in all the ways you approach God and you continue to own it with a deficit, you're always down by 10. You can never quite get square. There's a problem in the way you see yourself and the way you approach God. And it will crush you. And you will be living a life that's more pagan than it is righteous in the understanding of who you are in God. There's a story that he tells about his little girl that puts it in light. This little girl was showing off to mom and dad the new dress she had. And the mother said to the daughter, she was like 4 or 5 years old, called her by name and said, when did you get so pretty? We can all relate to that. I remember my girls spinning. I remember just the other day, my granddaughter spinning for me, for grandpa. And the answer is what floors me. Mom says, when did you get so beautiful? And here's her answer, when Daddy said I am. When did you get so beautiful? When Daddy said you are. Quit living as a sinner saved by grace. And begin living as the beautiful daughter and son that you are. When did you get so beautiful? When Daddy said I am. That moment in that bathroom as a 17-year-old punk, realizing that God made me that way and God says, you are beautiful. You're just the way I want you. That's the day my life changed. Because Daddy said, would you stand with me as we close? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's put the identity crisis behind us, shall we? I'm speaking to believers here today. If there's some, one, two, a dozen, 50, that don't know him, you can still embrace the truth of this message, but I'm speaking to those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. You need to own it. I'm not saying walk with arrogance, walk with pride, walk with a evil intent because you are the child of the king, but to realize that you're not garbage, you're not junk. You're not always at a deficit. You don't have to live with fear and hope that, well, hopefully God doesn't remove me from the family because of this time. That's not the way God wants us to live. That's pagan. That's pagan prayers. That's a pagan life. Embrace him today. You are beautiful. You're not complete, but you're beautiful because Daddy says so. Lord, I pray that you will do that work right now in the hearts of these who are listening today that needed to know they're beautiful. Needed to get out from under that life of fear and feeling like they have to perform for you. That's pagan. That's not you. May our prayers be free of the weight of sin. And may we be embraced with that joy, that peace, and those very rights of which you've determined by your own word. So that we can truly say, Abba, Father. Thank you for loving me, Lord. Thank you for loving these, my brothers, my sisters. May we embrace you and go forward from this day forth with victory. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. If you want.